thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley, good morning to you.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest, making her first public radio appearance, Rhode Island State Representative Lyanna Kassar, a Barrington Democrat. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Let's start with the continuing contracts bill passed by the Rhode Island House this week. The legislation will keep in place the terms of a previous contract if teachers or municipal workers are still negotiating to reach a new pact. City and town leaders say this bill will drive up municipal costs and lead to higher property taxes. Representative Kassar, you voted in favor of this measure. Tell us why.
Yeah, so I think that as a municipal leader, I can understand the concerns that you've got a fiscal commitment that you're concerned about being overextended. I voted in favor of this bill because my support really is in making sure that the jobs that exist in the community continue. I think it destabilizes communities when there is the potential risk of disruption of teacher contracts. I think it's not great for teacher morale. I think it's not great for the relationship between municipal leaders and unions. When it comes down to it, we want our schools to be reliable. We want our teachers to have a sense of job security. The unfortunate thing about the bill is it's a bit of a blunt instrument for a problem that occurs rarely.
How do you respond to the view from one of your Republican colleagues, Brian Newberry of North Smithfield? He said this in itself is not a terrible bill that's going to have a very damaging effect, but he said the orientation is toward a stream of pro-labor bills that are steadily ramping up costs for taxpayers.
I've joked with my colleague, Rep. Newberry, and said, please don't make me agree with you, but every once in a while I have to. I agree that in and of itself, as an isolated bill, there is reason for it. And there's reason for it as a result of work that has been done in bad faith in the past. But I think that it remains to be seen around whether or not the second part of his idea is true, that we are seeing too much in regards to labor bills. But what I will say is it's a little bit like implementing TSA. The majority of travelers are never going to be a problem, yet we screen all of them. It's a blunt instrument to make sure that on the rare occasions we have people who are working with bad intent, that we catch them. And in this case, this bill seems, it's not a perfect analogy, but it's a little bit of an effort to make sure that the bad actors are not empowered, because that is actually problematic for municipalities.
Maureen, is the General Assembly too beholden to labor interest?
I certainly think when you look at this, I think it is. I think what we see here is an unwillingness to take a look at this in terms of there could be profound changes coming down the road. We know about the idea of pensions. We know they're underfunded. We know there may have to be some changes. And what this does is hold steady. And really, you talk about short-term disruptions. When taxes go up, and these funds that are not pension funds are in bad shape, that's when you're really going to see disruptions. And that's when the communication between labor and communities and municipal leaders is going to get worse. I really think this, the governor vetoed the last one. She said she might change it if it gets tweaked. But I think the road here is one that spells a lot of trouble down the road. And I think people that take the short view that you're taking, I hope you can face the voters again and explain why your taxes go up if that happens.
Scott, what's your view of this continuing contracts bill?
Much ado about not very much. A good example, this contract continuation bill, all it does is move us back to the status quo that was there in 2009. When there was a big frittata between management and labor in East Providence. So I don't see it's a big deal. Most private sector union contracts have this. Massachusetts teachers have this. They don't seem to have these huge problems. Now, everybody who's of any age in Rhode Island will remember when the teachers' unions in this state were really, really much more militant. I mean, they used to strike every September. They don't do that anymore. They do sometimes work to rule. But I think this is a little blip and kind of just an overheated rhetoric. I'm surprised Oh, the Providence Journal blared this thing on page one.
Well, let's shift gears and talk about the declining state budget outlook. We'll get a better handle on that next month with the May Revenue Estimating Conference. But tax revenue has been coming in soft. Scott, you've seen a lot of budgets over the years. Why do you think the budget outlook seems to be worsening at a time when the national economy is still strong?
Well, it's funny because you look around at New England, and Rhode Island seems to be the state that always is the first in during a recession. And I talked to Professor Lodaro, the economist down at the University of Rhode Island, and one of the things he says is that it looks like the Rhode Island economy is softening. He cites things like 4 or 5 months of declines in jobs in the state, fewer housing starts, a softening housing market. So I think there are some clouds on the horizon, and I think the state will get a better view of what that looks like as we get into these May revenue numbers, which, as we know, are set the template for the budget.
Rep Kassar, you're one of the state reps who will be voting on a budget later this year. What is your view of why the budget outlook seems to be getting worse when the economy is still relatively good in the U.S.?
Budget versus economy, two very different things. So the budget is a kind of a forecast of priorities for the year, what the state is interested in investing in, and where the revenue opportunities are, whereas the economy is sort of that longer trend, public plus private. But I think that we're having some real truth, sort of facing the truth about sort of the three things that the budget is about: infrastructure, institutions, and individuals. And we're recovering from a lot of decisions of the past, as well as economic forces, local, national, global, that are really going to be, that are a lot more difficult to recover from. That said, I think we have some opportunities with this budget as well.
I agree there are opportunities, but given this softening, doesn't the positions of the unions make this picture just a little drearier in the sense that we may be going into a time where revenues are less, where we have to cut back, and we've booked ourselves into certain commitments that it would be difficult to get around?
So the unions and the municipalities exist for the service of the communities, right? They exist for that. I don't think anybody is, you know, has blinders on to the fact that the way negotiations happen right now, they're going to need to be different than they were 5-10 years ago. And the unions are going to need to be a part of that, as well as the municipal leadership. There needs to be some innovation in contracting.
Well, we're short on time here, but Rep. Kassar, I want to ask you about the abortion issue at the State House. A bill to guarantee abortion rights in Rhode Island is stalled for now in the Senate Judiciary Committee. We had Senate President Dominic Ruggiero here a couple of weeks ago, and he made it clear that there are probably going to be some amendments to the legislation that emerged from the House. Will you be willing to vote on an amended abortion bill if it comes back to the House?
I would need to see the bill. I can't commit to voting on anything without seeing what it is.
Understandable. It seems like Speaker Mattiello went all in on the abortion bill. So if an amended Senate bill furthers the cause of guaranteeing abortion rights, do you think the House would be likely to approve it?
I would like to think that the House is committed to making sure that we continue access to safe, legal abortion as part of comprehensive women's health services. But I think it remains to be seen what those folks feel can be negotiated.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And representing Barrington and the Riverside section of East Providence, Representative Liana Kassar, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.